motorcycle start and Larry's car. Both of them refused to start and pull out my power pack and jump my bike.
Turn your mic on.
Pull the ride today.
Turn your mic on, Pastor.
It's on.
Got it for here.
Well.
How's that? Is that all right? All right, so I'm on now. Peggy is not, she's a little under the weather, felt like she was starting a cold. She had coughing going on and runny nose. She asked if she, what I thought. I said, I think it best if you just stay home. Be cautious about this, and so we'll miss her today. But we've got all the music prepared, so bear with us if we don't get it right all the time. So we make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my iniquities unto thee.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will speak together the introit this morning, half verse by half verse. The Lord brought me to the banquet house. Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens.
Your faithfulness to the clouds.
Your righteousness is like the mountains of God.
Your judgments are like the great deep. Man and beast you save, O Lord.
How precious is your steadfast love, O God.
The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings.
They feast on the abundance of your house. For with you is the fountain of life.
In your light do we see light.
The Lord brought me to the banquet house.
And his banner over me was love.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the second Sunday after the Epiphany, is taken from the book of Isaiah, beginning at chapter 62. For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not be quiet, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by a new name, and the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise the Lord, all nations. For great is his steadfast love toward us.
And the faithfulness of the Lord endures
forever. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. The epistle for this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another, various kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise. That should be the Alleluias. Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Alleluia, this is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Alleluia. The Holy God. Okay. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the second chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. All right. It's all timing. All right. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This is the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Let us confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead. His kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated and we join in singing the hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So the Gospel of John speaks about the first miracle that Jesus performed. And you probably heard a lot of different sermons on the wedding feast, sometimes allegorizing sections of it, such as the turning the water into wine, looking at the foretaste of the feast to come with the rich wine that is better than any wine. Or maybe the allegory of something else. I don't know what it might be, but there are definitely plenty out there. But really, I want to focus our attention on a couple things today. And the first part is the statement in verse 11. This, the first of his signs Jesus did at Cana in Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I think that's really where John wants us to put our focus on, not so much the miracle itself that takes place, but on what this miracle, this sign, indicates and how it is received by the disciples, and probably even the servants who knew what had taken place. Because we recall in this scripture passage concerning this miracle that apart from Jesus, his disciples, his mother, and the servants that drew the water that had become wine, no one else at the wedding knew of this miracle. But John points to what it does point out. And I think you have to go back to 1 John. 1 John, John chapter 1, not 1 John in the letters, but chapter 1, where John speaks about the Word becoming flesh. And John speaks of this in this way in verse 14 of chapter 1. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." And the Word became flesh. John emphasizes the incarnation of our Lord Jesus in the opening chapters of his gospel. The gospel he presents to us so that we may believe through the words, through the testimony of John. Now John speaks of the incarnation, the miracle of that very act. Jesus becoming flesh and blood. Jesus becoming incarnate. Not that Jesus and the Godhead are two distinct parts of Jesus, but Jesus takes the wholeness of humanity in him. So that John could say, and we can say, Jesus was both divine and human. To all intents and purposes, anyone looking at Jesus would not know that he was divine. He would look ordinary, completely ordinary. But Jesus does some things to indicate the beginning of his ministry, and it begins with a wedding. And I think how appropriate, because John talks about Jesus being the bridegroom, and that the church, we, the church, his people, are his bride. So we start off with this wedding miracle that Jesus does. Indeed, maybe the things that take place do point to some other things in Scripture. But what it does most certainly is, it shows that Jesus is divine. Because who can do this? Who can change water into wine? And not just some weak wine, where someone perhaps might take some wine and mix it with water, but it is the best wine. There is perhaps a pointing forward to the day when Jesus makes everything come to its end that God has planned. And it's not really an end, it's just an end to sin. It is an end to this world with all of its trouble and hardships and heartaches. It'll be that place where one can feast on the finest of all there is and drink of the best wine. Jesus manifests. He shows his divinity to his disciples in this act. We don't really want to focus on Mary and Mary's conversation with Jesus, though it is an interesting and short one. But Jesus indicates there is something more to why he has come rather than just doing some parlor trick. Indeed, it was no parlor trick at all. But he does what she requests. And she knows he will, but he makes the point. My time has not yet come. What is that time? Well, it's the beginning of that time, one might say, in a sense. That is Jesus' public ministry. It points to his message that God is among his people. It points that Jesus is in control, and Jesus has the power to do what he says. Those things happen because Jesus said so. He told the servants, go and take those clay jugs over there and fill them up with water. John tells us that these clay jugs were used for purification. Now he's not talking about ceremonial purification so much as purification because the Jews would wash the feet of strangers, and undoubtedly there were many that were in the house that day who were guests. And they would need their feet washed. And the servants would take care of that. They also washed cups and dishes, you know, utensils, plates. This is the water he talks about. But there is a significance to this miracle in another way, because in the third chapter, Jesus has that wonderful discussion with Nicodemus. Just after this, after a short time, Nicodemus comes to Jesus and has that conversation in which Jesus says that in order to be born again, we must be born of spirit and the water. There is that theme of water throughout this, because after that time, Jesus goes on with his disciples and begins baptizing. Though John says, well, Jesus didn't himself, but his disciples did. The Apostle John thinks it's important to point out, because John the Baptist has an interesting discussion with his disciples who come and say, John, this Jesus guy is baptizing. And John teaches them that he, John the Baptist, must decline because he came to point out the Christ. And now the Christ is here. And that's the baptism we need to be looking for. There is a thing about water that permeates John, because after that instance, then Jesus sits at a well and a Samaritan woman comes to him, and Jesus says, draw some water for me. And she says, you being a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan, to draw water for you? How unheard of That was craziness. But Jesus asked her, and he says, well, if you knew who I was, I could give you water in which you would never thirst again. And she says, give me of that water. There is that theme of water and the Spirit. And perhaps here, John the Apostle is pointing out this first of the miracles that Jesus does, in which he has authority to change water into wine. How much more then should we believe Jesus and his word that says this water that we are baptized with changes us from unclean, unholy sinners into saints who are clothed with Christ's righteousness, who are given his Holy Spirit? How much more should we believe what God has done in this because of this miracle that no man could do except the Son of God? In this one sign, Jesus indicates to all his glory. Now, I've mentioned before, Epiphany is a kind of revealing of who Christ is and how that comes about, and it gets brighter and brighter. Here, it just like a flicker. It's a moment. But it's going to get brighter. It's going to get better. And that's what John the Apostle tells us as we proceed in his testimony, in his witness concerning Christ. And it's all for our benefit that hearing these words, we would believe. Believe in the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. And so we do. We look to our Lord for all of our needs. Whenever we have troubles that come our way, we know we can lift up our request to Jesus, who hears us, who may say, not yet, it's not yet time for this thing to take place, whatever it is you are requesting, but it will come about. For example, perhaps healing doesn't come about, and we wonder why that isn't so. And yet when we look back at what Jesus does for us in baptism, we know we are made well already. We are given the victory that Christ wins for us by going to the cross and dying for our sins. He pours out his blood for us. Note the water thing again that John tells us about when the soldier pierces the side of Jesus and water and blood flow from his side. And John, the apostle, says, I saw this. I saw it. See that theme of water. How important that is, not just for cleaning the dirt off of ourselves or our eating utensils, not for just cleaning the skin, cleaning whatever, but for purification of our hearts. It is through the blood of Jesus that is poured over us through baptism. We receive all of his grace, grace upon grace, John the Apostle says. I read that to you. Grace upon grace. And that's it. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your mercy and your grace that you have poured out upon us so abundantly. Thank you, Lord, for your sign of a wedding feast in which you changed water into wine. But more importantly, Lord, we know you as our bridegroom, and you have come and you have bought us with your precious blood and made us your wife. Heavenly Father, keep us in this relationship always. May we be faithful as you have been faithful to us and always will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's rise. Please be seated, and I ask the officers to come forward, those who are newly elected and those who continue to serve in their positions. Make room. All right, just about everybody. So, beloved in the Lord, Holy Scripture admonishes us that all things should be done decently and in order. To that end, the Constitution and bylaws of this congregation establish various offices to which men and women are elected and appointed to serve. In so doing, the church follows the example of the early Christian church as described in Acts chapter 6. The 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word." The Apostle Peter writes in his first epistle, "As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." I now ask you, each of you in your various offices, to serve in these positions as servants of Christ in our church. You have been chosen to fill specific offices and positions of responsibility at St. Paul. You are to work with the pastor that our life together in Christ may be orderly and pleasing in his sight. You are to see that the services of God's house are held at the proper times, that the word of God is purely preached and taught according to the Lutheran confessions, that the sacrament of Christ are administered according to his institution, that provision is made for the Christian instruction of young and old, that the erring are admonished, and that discipline is maintained. You are to see that the temporal affairs of the congregation are properly administered, and that proper support is provided for the workers of this congregation. You are to assist in caring for the poor and the sick, and cultivating harmony among the members, and promoting the general welfare of the congregation, and in furthering the kingdom of Christ here and throughout the world. While holiness of life and obedience to Christ are expected of all members of the congregation, it is especially important that you, as office bearers in his church, show yourselves by word and example to be faithful to him in service and Christian devotion. In the presence of God and of this congregation, I therefore ask you, do you accept the offices entrusted to you? And do you promise faithfully to carry out your duties, trusting in the Lord and conforming yourselves to his word in accordance with the faith of the Evangelical Lutheran Church? If so, then answer, I do. Beloved in the Lord, you have heard the promise of faithfulness spoken by these men and women whom you have selected to serve as officers of St. Paul. Do you promise to support them in their work, to remember them in your prayers, and to work with them to the best of the abilities that God has given you, so that he may be glorified and his work be done in your midst? If so, then answer, we do. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I install you as officers of St. Paul Lutheran Church in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty and most merciful God, enlighten and strengthen you in your office, that you may be good and faithful servants to the glory of His name and the good of His people. Amen. Ask the congregation to please rise and let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we give thanks that you have raised up these servants for work among your people. We humbly implore you to grant them by your Holy Spirit those gifts needed for the faithful carrying out of their tasks, most especially wisdom, strength, and willing hearts. Yet let your blessings rest on this congregation, strengthen the faith, quicken the love, and enkindle the zeal of its members, that your name may be glorified, and that here and in all places under heaven, the kingdom of your Son may be advanced. We remember with thanksgiving those who have faithfully served your people and have now completed their time of service. We pray that in the end of days, we with all your faithful people may hear the voice of Christ saying, "Come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever." Amen. Go in the name of the Lord, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. The Almighty and most merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bless and preserve you. Amen. Thank you. You may return. Please remain standing. We'll be doing the prayers of the church now. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord, you manifested your glory in the sign at Cana as you restored creation through the shedding of Christ's blood. Pour out your grace in abundance. Give us joy and gladness in the revelation of your truth in the person of your Son. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of glory, preserve your Son's bride, the church. Make her constant joy and delight to preach the good news of forgiveness in her Savior to poor sinners. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of glory, you blessed the wedding at Cana with your presence and honored it with your first miracle. Strengthen and give your gladness to all married couples and their families. Be present in our homes and lives with your free and abundant forgiveness, and preserve us in the true faith from each generation to the next. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of glory, you rule this world by your power. Give to our civil servants respect and recognition of your creation and its nature. When they use the authority given them from above, let it be in accord with your good design for our world and not the corruption of sin, which they are to rebuke for the good of their citizens. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of glory, we bring you the sick, distressed, and needy. Especially we lift up Scott and Judy Stallings, Sandra Avila, Jan Johnson, Robert Galabias, Alfred Durson, Jeff Schaffner, Edward Russell, Don and Donna Tolner, Nelson Meyer, Robert and Donna Knopf, and the family of Elizabeth Bleasy and Ray Holbrit. We pray, Lord, give your abiding comfort in every circumstance, that in Christ we shall not die, but live and declare his works. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of glory, as you manifested yourself by the sign at Cana, transforming water into wine, so manifest yourself to us here, transforming bread and wine to your very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. and make us fit partakers in repentance and faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that of your grace you have instituted holy matrimony in which you keep us from unchastity and other offenses. We implore you, send your blessing on every husband and wife. Do not let them provoke one another to anger and strife, but let them live peaceably together in love and godliness. Strengthen them with your gracious help in all temptations, and help them to rear their children in accordance with your will. Grant us all to walk before you in purity and holiness, putting our trust in you, and leading such lives on earth that in the world to come we may have everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy,
our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, after the supper, he took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood in the New Testament shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you all. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and preserve you in body and soul unto life everlasting. Go in peace and joy. Amen. Please rise. depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. It was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Go ahead. You're up. You're up.
We, after fellowship, we're having a council meeting today, and then our congregational meeting is next Sunday, and the LWML retreat is coming Friday and Saturday. I want to say happy birthday to Christy Gonzalez, whose birthday is January 19th, to Steve Griffin, whose birthday is January 21st, and Austin Bazowski, whose birthday is January 22nd. And that's all I have.
All right. Anything else from anyone? Go in peace. Serve the Lord.